Yeah, yes, just this morning, I was reminded that it's 9/11. 15 years have been passed. Yeah. I remember 30 years ago, there's an airline named People's Express. You can get on the plane with no security check. All you have to do is swipe your credit card and onto the board, okay, onto the plane and whatever, select the seat and sit down, as long as it's not full. So only $19 to Washington, D.C., think about it, cheaper than bus back then, 30 years ago. So, I mean, time flies. Okay, Uncle Don, could you play that, I mean, funny video? I guess you all have seen this one before. This is a British Got Talent, right? I've seen many times of this. Every time it touches me. Exciting, isn't it? I don't know how many times I watched it. And also I went to China. I mean, I showed it to the young people and I explained the whole thing to them. I mean, they were all excited about this British Got Talent. That's why we're talking about talent today. And Susan is... of course, she sings in the church. And also, he did a lot of volunteer work in the church. He's an amazing Christian. I mean, also, you can see his album, and he has a lot of Christian songs in it. Okay? And also, by the way, she has Asperger syndrome. I mean, Asperger means she doesn't know how to communicate with people. I mean, she doesn't know how to show her friendliness to people. A minor autistic person. Yet, she's faithful. We like to look for sort of like idol or elite people in this world. We look down on people that doesn't look elite enough. In the Garden of Eden, the serpent said to the lady, Eve, say, hey, if you eat of it, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And you see, ever since I was a kid, I had strange questions. I was like, what's wrong with knowing good and evil? Don't you like to know good and evil? I mean, do you like to look dumb all the time, doesn't know a thing about good and evil? Of course, we all love to know the good and evil. Do you know, maybe young people in the future, you like your children that grow up, doesn't know anything about good and evil? Is it good? I don't know how many people. Do you like to be a person that doesn't know good and evil? Say no. So what's wrong with knowing good and evil? What's wrong with it? The problem is you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. See, that's the problem. We are in the position same as God to make judgment, to judge what is good and what is evil. We no longer want to listen to the Lord. And then we turn around and ask in our prayers here, what is good and evil? You tell me. We just make a decision ourselves and we judge right there by myself what is good and evil. See, ever since man, or maybe together, the couple picked the fruit, and then self all of a sudden becomes so important. The ego is so strong. We like to judge everything according to our own knowledge, so-called the good and evil. We have the right to decide what is good and evil. Then since then, the world just become more and more good or evil. Just read the Bible and also read the human history. And you tell me, the human history is getting better and better and good and good. Nothing evil in it. See, but there's another garden in the Bible. The first garden has brought in the good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil. The second garden is Gethsemane. That's pressing. That means the pressed olive. Pressed olive. But Gethsemane means press the olive. And they press the oil out of the shell of the olive. There's another person. Reverse the whole thing. And he said, please, is it possible to take a cup, the cup of bitterness away from me? The cup of suffering away from me? Is it possible? And yet, his decision is, but not my will, but your will. Not my will, but your will. So this person, Jesus, reversed the decision for us. We love to say, why not? I mean, Nike, just do it. If you like, just do it. Right? We see it everywhere, man. Nike, just do it. I mean, you have t-shirt, just do it. You know, in the back, just do it. Do what? Do your will, my will, his will? Surely it's my will. Just do it. In this couple of years, somehow I was granted a sports club car. So I can go to the sports club gym for free. So I went to I don't want to waste the car, so I go to the gym often. And there's strange things I found out. I mean, in the gym, especially in the shower room, you see a lot of guys with a lot of papayas on their body, papaya. Okay, lots of papaya, here in papaya, small papaya, big papaya. I mean, have all kinds of papayas on their body. And they look at the mirror and they try to pump up their papaya and say, look good. You see papaya, man, say, hey. I mean, I would look at this papaya people, I say, woo. And then I thought about myself. Way back, I would say 50 years ago, I was a papaya man too. I mean, I try to check myself up, look like a papaya man. I mean, because Bruce Lee was my god in my younger days. I mean, isn't Bruce Lee a papaya man? I mean, lots of papaya, and also show off his papaya, right? And then, strange thing is, not in this club, it's not just papaya man, also papaya lady too. I say, whoa. I mean, I don't know before I joined this club, but now I see so many people, papaya people, walking around. They pump, try to have more papayas. I say, woo. And also, in Hong Kong, I was sitting in the subway, and then, across the aisle, there's a girl, young girl, was sitting there about, I would say, 18, 17. Well, I mean, around 20. It was looking at the cell phone. It's an Apple. It's an iPhone. It's look. And then he would look at the iPhone and smile. And then he'd bring up his cosmetic. And then smile again. And then boom. And then smile again. Erase. And then boom. I mean, it's for a whole... I mean, I was on the subway for 15 minutes. And she was looking at his iPhone for 15 minutes and boom, and then take a picture and boom, say, wow. There's so many selfie things in the world nowadays. It doesn't matter where. I mean, especially tourist area, you see selfie sticks. I mean, sticking here. Some people just drop off the cliff because they look at the selfie. They back up, and then fell off the cliff. I mean, this world is so crazy about ourselves. Isn't it strange? We love to look for elite people. We look for idols. And we just look for those people that just do it. I mean, like Bruce Lee, just do it. Hero, look like a hero. We all love to be somebody. We hate to be nobody. Right? You know, in Pakistan, church is a good thing here, at least in the United States, right? In the States, it's a good thing. But church in Pakistan is for those inferior people, trash in society. They go to church. They are inferior people. I mean, you're not afraid to let people know that you are a Christian, but in Pakistan, once people know you're a Christian, they consider you a trash in the society. Isn't it sad? But it's okay. Because Jesus was trashed too. 2,000 years ago, he was trashed. So this trashy feeling is actually we should have. Right? I mean, strange, right? That's why the Matthew's past, you know, chapter 7, it says, Lord, Lord. You know, I mean, the people that I call Lord, 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 will not really have the status to go into the kingdom of God. Do you try to be an elite person? Try to be an idol in front of all the people? Doesn't matter where, in what kind of society or group you are. You try to be the number one person in the group? You hate to be looked at by the people? A trash. In the scripture reading, we talk about five talents, right? We talk about two talents, right? We talk about one talent. I mean, I don't know which version. It was a bag of something. But bag of gold is actually the word talent, right? Talent, this talent, I mean, it's Greek. Talent, I mean, all turned into today is talent, is the guy, the person that really has a lot of talent. I mean, talent is actually a number. Yeah. Talent of gold is five talent. One talent. I heard a lot of preaching, I mean, sermons talk about the five talent. Oh, five talent was praise. Five talent, good. A lot of people praise about, you know, but condemn about the one talent. I mean, the lazy one talent, right? But strange thing is that nobody really talk about the two talent. Everybody loves to talk about the five talent and condemn the one talent. But what's wrong with the two talent? Strange. Nobody want to talk about two talent. And also, Jesus didn't talk about three talent, four talent. What happened to the 3 talents, 4 talents? Have you ever thought about it? We love to be the 5 talents. We hate to be the 1 talent. Do you really like to be the 2 talents? Or maybe 3 talents or 4 talents? Ever think about it? When you're in a group, Bible study group, you like to be the 5 talents. We don't talk about this and this. Now, you know so much about, you know, the Bible. Me, after I graduated from seminary, I love to be a, you know, top theologian. I know all the everything about the Bible. We love to be the best. We love to have the 5 talents. We hate to be 2 lads. Forget about the 1 talent. If somebody said, well, you're not 5 talents, you're just 2 talents. How about that? Okay, I upgrade a little bit. How about 3 talents, 4 talents? It's okay, it's about that. 5 talents? Nah. You're going to be happy or you're going to... How do you feel when somebody says you're not 5 talents? But in the Bible, there's a lot of those 2 talents, or maybe 3 or 4 talents. I mean, I don't know whether you know about the story about Elijah. Okay? There's another person in the story of Elijah. His name is Obadiah. Obadiah. How to say that? Obadiah or Obadiah?
Either way.
Well, I mean, according to the original reading, it should be Obadiah. Okay? But somehow we read it Obadiah. It's another Obadiah person, Obadiah. I mean, he's a person with 2 talents, I would say. 2 talents. Maybe 1.5 talent. I mean, he's not as elite, as famous, as noteworthy to look at. I mean, Elijah killed 450 false prophets. I mean, he singly just killed them. I mean, he can call the rain, just come, boom. I mean, he did all kinds of miracles. He was laughing at the false prophet. But Obadiah, it didn't say much about Obadiah, this person, in the story. He just quietly, he just hit 100 true prophets in the cave and gave them food and water. And it was scary when he saw Elijah's, "Woo, please, master, no, you bring curse to me. If the king knows that I'm here with you, I mean, I'll be killed. Elijah said, go ahead and tell your king that I'm here. So no. If I tell my king, and he later on, after I told my king, and I came back, and you're not here, then I'll be killed. Because, I mean, it seems like I was lying to my king, and I'll be killed. So Elijah said, okay, have peace. Go ahead and tell your king. I will be here for sure. Such a coward chicken person in the Bible. Yeah, he's brave enough to hide 100 true prophets in a cave. Once the king find out that he hide 100 true prophets, also he'll be killed. So his life is always on the line. But his chicken, his coward. You see this kind of people, strange people in the Bible. One side you see Elijah, the other side you see Obadiah, a coward, a chicken, a scary person, not like as brave as Elijah. And yet, strange thing is, Elijah, talk about Elijah, this person, just because a woman said a word, a statement, said, I'm going to kill you for sure, and then he ran for 40 days. Will you? Just because a girl said, I'm going to kill you tomorrow, then you ran for 40 days, will you? Who is the true chicken? Elijah or Obadiah? This world is full of all kinds of people. Some we look at as elite, idol. Some we look at, nah. Like Susan. Is she really possible? Look at him. Look at her. Look at the look. Nobody agreed with her. But yet, after she sang, everybody agreed. Surprise all of us. Right? We Don, could you show this one? It's a blinking poet in Japan. When he was 9, he got some kind of disease that will cause diarrhea and all kinds of stuff. Somehow he was paralyzed, the whole body except his eyes and ears and brain. So the rest of his function of his body went away. And then when he was 13 or 14, a Japanese preacher came to him, showed him the Bible, and then he accepted. And he was baptized when he was 14. And then one day, all of a sudden, his mom found out. He could understand every word that she said by blinking his eyes. And then his mom just create alphabetic numbers in a chart. So I pointed all the charts, and then so she can predict, she can write down what is in his mind. So from that, with his mom's help, he wrote a lot of poems. And then his mom died. His sister-in-law took over the job and keep on writing. And he died 1984. Age 47. Next picture. That's him. Only his head is functional. The rest of the body can't even speak. Next one. This is mom and him. Next one. His sister-in-law helping write down the poem. Next one. That's his poem. Could we just read it together? Snail, go ahead. Living in the great hand of God, the snail crawls as the snail should. The spiderwort blooms as the spiderwort should. The green tree frog croaks at the green tree frog should, and in the great hand of God I live as I should. Next one. Oh, let's read it slowly so we can think. Right, you can think. Oh, sorrow, thank you so much, oh sorrow. Had you not come to me, had you not been so strong, I wonder how I would be today, oh sorrow. You took me to the side of Jesus, my Lord, where there are joys not of this world, where there's peace not to be taken away. Oh, sorrow. Next one. If I had not suffered, I would not have known the love of God. If many people had not suffered, God's love would not have been passed on. If Jesus had not suffered, God's love would not have been made visible. The last one, the last poem before he died. Okay, slowly. The love of Christ abides, yet still coughing tonight. Will the snowing subside? O Lord, give me patience. Doors and windows, north wind knocking. Here I am, alone, sobbing. O Lord, give me patience, give me patience. Glorious grace, marching, meadows and trees, hoping. For the spring is coming. The Lord, O Lord, give me patience. Nice, right? From a person, only thing he can do is blinking his eyes. I don't know how many talents he has. In God's eyes, I don't know what is his talent. By blinking his eyes. We all are just like a piece of jigsaw puzzle of the whole picture. One day, in the final day, God will put all the jigsaw, the pieces together so we can see the whole picture of the jigsaw puzzle. This piece of jigsaw puzzle, the whole picture, this piece might be colorful, might be shiny, might be dull, might be just monocolor, black and white. Maybe this piece of puzzle in people's eyes is nothing, trash. But think about it. In God's eyes, this is a piece of the puzzle. You, we all, pieces of puzzle in God's eyes. So, the talent, so-called the talent people, in the final days, they call out, Lord, Lord, Lord. Lord said, I don't know you. You're not this piece of puzzle in my whole picture. You might be shiny. You might be an elite in a society. You might look glorious. But unfortunately, you're not my piece. Let's read the call to worship again. Don, could you? Let's read it together. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For the people that never read Bible before, in their eyes, you are the Bible. Can you be the Bible for those unreached people that have never read the Bible before? Remember, we are all Bibles in front of other people that don't know the Bible. Let's pray. Oh Lord Jesus, we are weak, we are vulnerable. Sometimes we think we're useless. We're not worthy. We're not worthy. Maybe in your eyes, in people's eyes, but we just want to be pieces of your puzzles. We know the whole picture. But let us be that peace of yours. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.